Hello and welcome back to the Third Period Podcast, where we take a look at the UK's ice hockey leagues. We're sponsored by Willie's Ice Hockey Emporium for all your ice hockey needs. Check them out. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Third Period Podcast. Tonight I have Ash, Ross and Scott with myself as always, and I hope they're all well. Tonight's guest has played alongside our former guest Neil Martin at Sudbury Wolves in the OHL, where he also played alongside a former Blaze teammate, Joel Poirier. He was selected by the Buffalo Sabres in the 1993 NHL Draft, playing 39 regular season games, scoring 2 goals and 4 assists, and collecting 18 penalty minutes during that time, which is quite fitting. He played in the British Super League with the Manchester Storm, then played in the ECHL, AHL and the UHL before making return to the British shores and signing with the Coventry Blaze, where he played 4 seasons. We welcome tonight Barry Moore. Thank you, Barry, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The pleasure is definitely all ours. we'll start with the, we call it the cliche question, hockey for yourself. Where does it all start?
Where did it start for me? Like when I was a young lad?
Yeah. What's your first memory you've got?
My first memory? Oh my goodness. You guys are just reminding me how old I'm getting now. That's I was probably on skates at 6 years old. First time. I grew up in a small town just outside of London, Ontario, actually. And with a population less than 5,000, I think we were actually a village when I was really young. But I was on skates at 6, 7 years old. Played just minor hockey growing up just outside of London, and obviously fell in love with it and was lucky enough to play professionally for a number of years, and met a lot of people, got to travel a lot of places, and it was a lot of fun.
So after the minor hockey, as we'll say, you were took the OHL route for 4 seasons in Sudbury. During those 4 seasons, in the top 10 point scorers in each season, progressed to getting high up that list. How did the OHL route come for yourself? Was it always the route you were going to follow, or?
Pretty much, yeah. Where I, in Ontario and in Canada, I mean, at that time, this is, like I said, I'm getting old, but over 30 years ago now, that my route, I kind of knew that if anything, it was going to be the OHL. I did talk to a few college teams, but I wasn't much of a student. But it was just, that was just the way it was going to be. And actually, when I did get drafted to Sudbury, I didn't even know where Sudbury was. Ontario was a pretty big place, but where I grew up. But it's funny that I played 4 years here and I just made this my home. So I've just never left.
Brilliant. During that time in Sudbury, and after the third season, you get drafted in the NHL by the Buffalo Sabres. How did that come along? How did the talks happen? And were Buffalo the only team in for you, or was it a bit of a shock for yourself?
Well, I knew the draft was, I'd had a really good first year in the OHL in Sudbury. So I was going into my second year, my draft year, I was rated pretty high, and I actually had just a terrible season here, and my draft ranking dropped quite a bit. I kind of knew it was going to happen, but I like I said, I went, it was the ninth round. It was a lot. I think I was rated in the third round and went in the ninth round. So it just actually for me, then it just gave me the kind of a kick in the ass then, and just realized I had to pick up my game, and you know, things worked out. I mean, not great. I was lucky enough to play a few games for them and get to play at the highest level of hockey, I guess you can really play. So, probably would have done a few things different, but overall, like no regrets really.
You kind of touched on where I was going to go next slightly, but after you were drafted by Buffalo, did you find going back to college and to Sudbury, was there more pressure on you to perform at a higher level so you could make the step to NHL, or would you stick into your gameplay and you following your route?
Well, I think you probably put pressure on yourself, but we're only teenagers then too, but at the same time, you're drafted to the NHL. That says something. That means you should be performing for your team. So, but I don't think coaches, too much pressure. I think it's more the player themselves that puts the pressure on themselves. And then I think it helps you. You got to learn to play with pressure, so it helps you perform.
So that first season in the AHL with the Rochester Americans, coached by John Tortorella, you're third in the team for points. You go on and win the Calder Cup in your first season. I seen the first couple of rounds, you swept 11-1, and then the Calder Cup goes to game 7. What was going through your head when those games were going on?
Well, that was a lot of fun. That was a very long year. That year, we didn't finish playing until, I think it was almost June 10th. So it was, and the season didn't start. We had a very poor start as a team and individually as well. But, I mean, we stuck to it. And I think I'm guessing you guys follow the NHL somewhat here, and I'm sure you've seen many of Tortorella's interviews and such. He's he's a bit of a hard ass, but you know what? In the end, he pushed us, and we respected him. It was hard sometimes, but we knew he had our back. And in the end, you know what? We won the whole thing. So like I said, it was a long season. It was very tiring. I think the day after we won, I think we had some guys were taking off the next day. I remember one guy, he was getting married in 2 days, so he had to get home to get married. So, but it was just, I think at the time we were the last team. The NHL was done. Every other league was done. We were the last team playing hockey in North America. So it was long, but a lot of fun, a lot of good memories.
I read a report that I think Stanley Cup was won by the Avalanche, and you and Ruman and Durr, who obviously we know quite well, was just sitting around waiting to play and wondering what was going on. Obviously, you played in the NHL that season as well, a couple of games up there. What was that experience like?
It was fun. It was, like I said, I was in the American League in Rochester all year. It was just the end of the year. Buffalo, they were already out of the playoffs, so they're going to give a few of their prospects a chance. So I got up to right at the end of the year just to play a few games. I think I played maybe 3 games that year, and it was great. It was a great experience. It even shows you. I mean, the American League is a very high level of hockey, but you don't realize how good the NHL is until you get there. It was it's quite the jump. It's some do it easier than others, but there's a reason why it's the best league in the world.
In 96, 97, you move on, you get traded. Were you aware of the trade that was going to happen, or was it a bit out of the blue?
That was right out of the blue for me. I had no idea it was coming. I remember I was actually living with Ruman at the time. We were roommates, and I know the phone rang at some point, and I don't know why we didn't answer it, but later on we checked the messages, and it was a message from the GM of Buffalo saying, sorry, you've been traded to Edmonton. So I didn't expect it at all. I didn't take it very well. But I mean, looking back, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, I was still pretty young then, but you got to learn to deal with it. I didn't deal with it the greatest, but it happens. It happens all the time in sports. And yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you had a few teams in the AHL, but consistently putting up numbers. At any point did you think you were going to get a shot at an HR roster full time?
I think that at one point in my, I think it was my, before I got traded to Edmonton, I was with Buffalo. I was just staying in a hotel, and I'd been there 2 or 3 months, and I finally decided I was going to get my stuff, and because Rochester was only an hour and a half away, was playing with their American League affiliate team. And I said, well, I'm finally going to go get my stuff. And it seems like things are going pretty well. Well, if it didn't happen 2 days later, I got sent back down. So it was disappointing, but that was my, you know, one of my longest stint. I think it was close to 3 months, but I think that looking back, I think I jinxed myself a little bit.
So after your time, obviously, in the AHL and the NHL, you come over to the British shores and join Manchester Storm in the Super League, as it was back then. I don't know much about the Super League because at that time I was probably only like 9-10 years old. I've heard of it. I've seen clips of it. Did you know the British game had ice hockey, and what was your thoughts on it when you first landed?
I didn't really. I knew there was a league over there. There are a few different levels too, but when I looked at the roster, I couldn't believe and started looking around the league how many good players there were, and you know, players I played with, played against through the American League and stuff like that. So very impressive. But my first impression when I got there, I got off the plane in the morning. We traveled to Sheffield that night. My first game, I think they beat us 10-1. So wasn't the best of starts there, but
yeah.
But it was good. It was a very good league. Very good. It was, like I said, a lot of the guys played in the American League and the NHL, stuff like that. But unfortunately, I think the 2 or 3 years later, the league was gone. So,
Yeah, unfortunately, the league, I think I might be wrong. I think in 2002, it kind of disbanded. But how would you compare the Elite League to the Super League? Would you say the Elite League was better, or was the Super League better? Were they pretty even par in that sense?
I'd say pretty even par. I'd say maybe overall, because I think the Super League, then they were paying a little bit more, so you could bring in a little more high-profile players at the time.
Yeah.
And compared to the Elite League, I think of the Elite League, you could only have 9 or 10 imports. So at the time, I think the Super League maybe could have a few more. But, I mean, it wasn't that far off. Some teams, I mean, remember the Super League then? I think it was it Sheffield? Sheffield could have played in the American Hockey League. They were that good. Some of the players they had on that team, they were tough. They were skilled. I mean, God, they beat us on the scoreboard. They beat everybody up. I think they won everything that year. So, I remember that.
Yeah. Speaking of Sheffield Steelers, there's an incident in a video I've seen. I've probably seen it 3 or 4 times now. And when Neil obviously set this up for us with yourself, I sent the video to the guys and we all watched it. There's a former Blaze D-man by the name of Carpito playing for Sheffield at the time. You're coming out of the Manchester zone and coming up mid-ice, just cross your blue line, and I think you lose an edge. And Chris Carpenter's already lining you up for the mid-ice hit. And I think he catches you around your face. I don't know if it was with his skate or his knee. What actually happened? Because the commentator just didn't have a clue and no one ever cleared that up.
I think basically I saw him at the last second and I just bailed, I think. And I think it was his knee that hit me in the head. But I think I saw my life flash before my eyes there. It was... I think it could have been way worse, but I think I had a concussion from that because I went off the ice. They sent me to the dressing room and I stood at the door of the dressing room and I couldn't even remember where I was sitting in the room. So, yes. And I've seen that on video a few times too. So
wow,
I'm lucky. It could have been a lot worse. So
definitely could have been.
Yeah.
So after the Super League, you headed back to North America, signing for Columbia Inferno, then getting called up for 14 games to the Portland Pirates in the AHL. How do you adapt from going from the Super League standard back to the East Coast?
It was tough. I mean, it was, like I said, the Super League was very good hockey, like very good hockey there and very underrated. A lot of people over here didn't realize that, but the East Coast Hockey League too is pretty good. I'd say the Super League's maybe a step above. But, and that year too, I was trying to, I guess, see what I could do with my career if I could make it back. But I was lucky enough to get called up to Portland a few times, or the one time, and spent a month or two there. But I think after that, the writing was kind of on the wall that I basically knew the East Coast League was going to be the best I was going to do in North America anyway. So I think I ended up spending 3 years in Columbia and then, a year in Missouri in the United Hockey League before I came over to Coventry.
Yeah. So was it you plan just to stay in UK just for the one season, just to see what it was like, or what was it? What made you head back?
Well, I'd Neil Martin, obviously, we're really good friends, and he was my connection, I guess, to get there. And it was originally, yes, just going to be, it was only a 1-year deal. And I think I ended up coming a little bit late because my paperwork was screwed up somehow. And I think that was my fault anyways. But once I got there and just saw what it was all about and how good the hockey was, how well we were treated, Coventry was just, it was a great place to play. And I think I signed a 2-year deal near the end of my first year there. So, and then signed in one more after that. So, I mean, I still miss it today. I love my time there.
Talking of your move to Coventry, you signed after the season had started. Was that just to see what was out there, or you just wasn't sure what was going on?
No, I think I signed late, but I think it was paperwork. Because I can't remember what happened, but I think I was probably 3 weeks late or something like that. But I think I had to wait on a visa, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't supposed to be like that. But like I said, it was probably my fault.
Well, your debut went well. Basingstoke, you scored 2 goals, 1 in the first period. So when you get to Coventry, what are your thoughts on the city and the rink and the guys in the room?
It takes a little bit of getting used to, but like I said, I mean, we had a good team, and they're coming off, the year before they won everything there. So, I mean, it was tough to live up to those expectations, but it was the rink there, playing at the Sky Dome, I think it was called. The atmosphere there was great. It's small. Like, we did really well for fans, and it was a lot of fun. We had a good team that year, and then it was the next 2 years where we really excelled, and just everything there. We loved it all. My wife loved it. My kids went to school there. My oldest had a British accent for a little bit, so it was a lot of fun.
The 05-06 season, we get to the Challenge Cup final. The game ebbs and flows in that second leg in Cardiff, and then we go to penalties. And I think we're all thinking, oh, it's Barry Moore's wrist here, we're fine, because you've got one hell of a wrist shot, probably one of the best in the Elite League era. I can't think of many more better. And you stick snaps. What's going through your head then?
That was actually the second round of penalty shots too, because we went through one round, nobody scored. And then, so same 5 guys go. I got to go first the second time. I think the first time I tried to deke, obviously didn't score. Second time, that was my go-to. I had a good shot, so I'm going to try and blow one by Jody Lehman. My stick snaps in half, and I feel like an idiot. And their next shooter goes down and scores, and the game's over. So it was one of those times. I mean, it's just frustrating, but what can you do? It happens, you know. It's give Cardiff credit. They came back. I think we had a 3-goal lead, and they scored in the last 30 seconds to tie it. And then, but it's a trophy we should have had, but sometimes it doesn't always work out.
Yeah, I mean, that was the height of our rivalry with Cardiff. It started before the Elite League, and we really did have ding-dongs with each other. But after that season, we then go into the 06-07 season, and we get some trophies on the board with a great team. Yourself, you kind of played where Tomo wanted you to play, a bit of an unselfish player, putting up points, scoring loads of goals against Cardiff. What's the winning trophies like in Coventry?
Oh, it was excellent. I mean, especially, like I said, the year before I got there, they won everything there. So, and then the next year we didn't win anything, losing that final. But to find again, and it was the people, the players that Tomo brought in, everything, Sylvain Cloutier, Reed Symington, Danny Stewart, like Dan Carlson came back that year. I mean, we had a hell of a team, and it was so much fun because that team was so close. We won together, we lost together, we We drank together, fought together, everything. It was so when to come back and to win the league, and would we win the league and the Challenge Cup that year? That was lost in the playoffs, but no, it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
And obviously, you said you all drank together. Neil alluded to the fact that you and him drinking signed Danny Stewart. So there are some positives come out of beer.
Yeah, I think, well, Neil and I have known each other a long time. So we've obviously like to enjoy a beer together. But you throw other guys in the mix, Danny Stewart, I mean, that team, James Pease, just full of characters. Tomo, my goodness. Like I said, we like to win and we like to have a beer. That was for sure.
What's Tomo like behind closed doors? Because obviously we just see the angry man on the bench and then his post-game interviews, depends what mood he's in. But what's he like as a coach?
I thought he was great. I mean, it's a little different over there because I think Tomo was a little closer to us than like what we were used to in North America. Coaches try and they do their own thing. But Tomo was always there. You could talk to Tomo about anything. Communication lines were always open. He would have a beer with us, have fun with us. But Tomo loved to win too. He hated losing. And as much as we hated it, sometimes when we lost, even though maybe we shouldn't have lost, whatever, he was hard on us. And, you know, he knew how to get us going again, to get us a little pissed off sometimes. But overall, great coach, great person.
Just touching on, as an import coming to the British leagues, when you're weighing up a move, and obviously you got the pros and the cons, what are the cons for an import when they're thinking about moving to Britain?
Oh, good thing. Well, I think it's life experiences. I mean, when we went there, like it couldn't have worked out better for, I'm being selfish, but for my family, we got to spend 4 years in a great city, meet great people. The organization, like the ownership, everything. I remember Sally being there. Sally was, if you ever had a problem, you'd call Sally and she'd fix everything for you. But like I said, my children going to school, my wife got to teach at Coventry University, get her master's degree. I somehow got a master's degree out of that. There's all positive things when I think about Coventry. Like I said, I still miss it. And I have been back twice, I think. I think went back for Tommy Watkins' testimonial and Russ Cowley's. So it's been a while, and I can't wait to come back for another visit.
What made you hang the skates up in the end then? Because it sounds like from your years in Coventry, you enjoyed the time, you won trophies. It seemed a good fit for yourself and your family. Why did you hang it up?
I think it was this time. I had, at the time, my brother-in-law was very sick and they weren't sure at the time if he was going to make it. So that was a factor as well. But I just think there comes a time too. I mean, we did, I think I played for 13 or 14 years. So it was trying time to find something after hockey. It wasn't easy to do, but nobody wants to stop playing. You're playing a game paid to do it. So it's fun. You got 20 instant friends in the dressing room and you got people shouting for you, cheering for you. So it's hard to stop. But at the end of the day, I mean, unless you're a Jonathan Weaver, I don't even know. Is Weave still be playing? I don't know. But I know I only had if I could have played maybe one or two more years because that was all I had left. But like I said, it's hard to play. Getting paid to play a game, it's a lot of fun. But there is a time when you got to look to something else.
Well, touched on something else. Did a bit of homework earlier. Obviously, you've done a bit of assistant coaching in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League and down now as a scout with the Hamilton Bulldogs in the OHL. Gone a bit of a full circle. going back there. What's happening with yourself now then? What is in the life of Barry Moore?
Well, I have, like you guys right now too, we're in lockdown pretty much. So with all this COVID going on, but which really sucks, but I'm a firefighter for the city of Sudbury and my wife's a pharmaceutical rep. I got a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old daughter, so we're busy. We're actually living in my mother-in-law's basement right now because we sold our house right before the pandemic hit. So, and we're still here. So, not the best of times, but it could always be worse.
Doing the best you can at the moment then, basically.
Yes, yes.
So, just last few questions now. We always like to ask this question to our guests when we get them on. What we want to know is your best top six players you've played alongside with during your career. So we need one netminder, two D-men, three forwards.
Well, played with?
Yeah.
Well, that's easy be for a goalie. Yeah. For a goalie would be Dominic Hasek. I played with Pat LaFontaine. He was a very good player. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think I played like two shifts with him. So, who else? Jeez, that's a tough question. I don't know. Give me a minute to think about that one. ask me something else in the meantime.
Go on then. I've got one for you, Barry. We mentioned it at the start, obviously, before we pressed the record button. Any funny stories that you can air from your time in Coventry? I'm sure there's some antics that have gone in that dressing room, some wind-ups.
Oh my goodness, there's some stories can't be told, but I remember my second year, they put in our shower area, they'd put like a bathtub or like a cold tub for players. You know, you could fill it up with ice and whatever, have a cold bath or,
yeah.
But at the time, I remember I think it was a sale on curling at one of the grocery stores. So we bought so much curling beer that we filled up the bath. The guys couldn't even use it as a cold tub anymore. So we were more concerned about our cold beer after the game than we were about guys with their injuries. So, but,
sounds like a fun thing to do. That's very inventive from the guys, I must admit. Let's turn a
yes. Cold into that. Yeah, it was, like I said, we had a lot of fun together. I mean, some of the closest teams I ever played on. And even now when I think, talking about through my career, I always go back to Coventry because it was the funnest. I mean, it was at the end of my career, I guess, too, but that's the most fun I ever had. Yeah. And we had fun, but we worked hard and we won. That was, it was great.
Yeah, perfect success story, isn't it? You can have fun whilst doing what you love and winning trophies at the same time.
Absolutely.
So the one thing that we always ask any ex-players who played alongside Danny Stewart is, what was he like as a player in the room? So obviously we see him now as a coach and he's no different from what he was as a player on the ice. But behind those doors, when the crowd had disappeared and it was just you guys, what was he like?
Stewie is like a little bulldog. He won't stop. I could see him as a coach. I know everyone would be accountable for sure. And even as a player, he made sure guys were accountable. Danny's like, he's a little midget. He's about 130 pounds, I think. But like he would fight Payette. He would not back down from anyone. He was, he scored some really big goals for us. He was a great team guy. I mean, he might drive you crazy sometimes because he'll just yap, yap, yap all day long. But at the end of the day, you know, Stewie was going to be there for you for sure. But great teammate for sure.
So, Barry, have you had a little time to think about your top six?
God, I haven't even thought about it. So Hasek.
Hasek, LaFontaine.
LaFontaine. Jeez.
Well, the sounds of maybe Danny Stewart as well.
No, it's not the best. No. No.
James Pease. Oh,
I mean, in Coventry, I mean, you look, I mean, Marty and I are buddies, but I mean, he was a great player. Like, he was fantastic. Kill penalties, play power play. He was a leader, you know, did everything. Also, Trevor Koning, too, was he was a great goalie. He, we had a lot of success because of him, too. It was,
I say it helps when your netminder keeps you in the games and wins your games.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a big part of those trophies. Oh, God, I can't even think. I'm just drawing a blank. Man.
Definitely
the teams I played on.
Sure, yo.
I played with Adam Oates for like a couple games, or got to watch him play anyways. He was a really good player. But defenseman, I can't think of defenseman that I played with.
So many.
I don't know.
So many.
I'll sure, have to text you.
I'm sure you'll come off this call and be like, yeah, okay, him and him and that.
Yes, yeah. You guys are putting me on the spot.
So. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, Barry, is obviously mentioned earlier that the shot you had was devastating. And was that there from a young lad growing up? And how did you work on that? Because I'm sure a lot of people would like to have the shot you had.
I don't really know how it came about. I think it was, I just never really took slap shots. And so, I mean, as a forward, the type of player I was, I guess, I never really had a chance to. But so I always would just risk the puck. I mean, try to get it away quick and hard. And I don't know. It just kind of happened. Even in practice, I wouldn't really take slap shots or, but it's not like I don't have a story where, you know, my dad set up 400 pucks for me and I got to shoot pucks at the barn door all day long or anything like that. But it was just, like I said, never slapped the puck, just always try and snap it. And just it got better as time went on, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't too shabby. Has Chris McNamara been on to you about when all this is over, coming over and coming to Coventry?
Chris McNamara, no. I never played with Chris. I do know him, but I never played with him.
Oh, sorry. Neil was saying that he's now the guy setting up the move for everyone to come over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be texting him and Marty then and ask why I haven't got the invite yet then.
Yeah, I think the words that Neil used when we recorded with him was Chris is being sneaky behind the scenes, and that's all he said.
Oh, really? Okay, well, now the cat's out of the bag, so.
Straight on the phone. Chris, where's my invite?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess with all this COVID shit going on, I mean, it's going to be a little while before we're traveling overseas, so.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's ending anytime soon for us. So.
No, it doesn't.
So that's all the questions I've got lined up. I know Scott's obviously asked a few that he's had. I'll just see if Ash has got any more. Ash, have you got any more questions?
Nothing more from me, thank you.
Ross, have you got any more?
Just want to say fantastic 4 years in Coventry. You know, it was a joy to watch you play. Like you said, your shot was just phenomenal. We always remember a goal against Cardiff. I think we said it was Peter Aubrey, I think, was it? Basically, the puck went in and bounced back out, and he actually thought the puck hadn't gone in because the shot was that fast. So, but it was an absolute pleasure to watch you play for the Blaze.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to play there.
Well, on that note then, Barry, we'll thank you for joining us this evening. We'll let you get on with the rest of your day. And for everybody that's listening, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Third Period Podcast. Hopefully we'll be back in an ice rink soon watching some sort of hockey. We hope you all stay safe.
Thanks.
So after the episode, Barry Moore decides to text me his top six after having a hard think about everything. He's gone with Hasek in goal, Jonathan Weaver and Neil Martin on D, LaFontaine, Adam Calder and Joel Poirier as his three forwards. Thanks again for listening to the third period of podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to check out Willie's Ice Hockey Emporium for all your ice hockey needs.